It's truly good to be here among brethren and fellow saints. I'd like to say before I begin to what Joe said this morning, you know, I really appreciate what he's done for me and all the things that he's done for me and taught me and helped me in so many ways. You know, I really do appreciate you in many ways, and it's to say that we're blessed here to have you for the work that you do is an understatement. It really is. You know, I really mean that. So thank you for instructing me and helping me and guiding me along the way. You know, I will say you are correct. My writing has improved because those first couple articles, it was like, man, red everywhere, but we're getting it dialed in. So I appreciate that. Tonight I'd like to focus a little bit and center our attention a little bit around our words. And I guess while this lesson could have went in a couple different ways, you know, I could spend time talking about our language and how we need to watch, you know, filthy language and bad words and that sort of thing. I wanted to talk about some hard words that are to say. Hard words that are hard to say, if that makes sense. So let's jump into this. You know, why are our words important? Well, let's see what the writer of Proverbs had to say. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says a very short thing, but it's profound. It's bold. The writer of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." There again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have the ability to use our words and to help others. It's great. It's a blessing. It truly is to be able to help someone and use your words. That being said, death can be found by the tongue too. That's something we're going to talk about. James chapter 3, we'll turn there real quick. We're not going to go into great detail on James. But in James chapter 3, he does go on. James writes, starting in verse 6, he talks about the tongue. There again, talking about our words. "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets fire, and it sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and the Father, and with it we curse men." Verse 10, "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." They're again establishing the point. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words, the things we say as Christians, and non-Christians for that matter, are important. They're incredibly important. They're incredibly important. I have nothing more to say about it. We are going to be judged by what we say and how we say it too. You know, thus, we need to choose our words carefully. Flip back to Proverbs real quick. The writer of Proverbs does talk quite a bit about our words and you know, listening to wisdom and instruction and whatnot. And part of that is watching what we say. It truly is. Proverbs chapter 21, if you'll turn there real quick, Proverbs 21 and verse 23, it says, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble." I'm going to read that again. This is important. "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." That there is one question that I'm thinking right now. Are we guarding our mouth? Are we guarding our tongue? That's something I can't answer for any of you here. You need to ask it for yourself. Are you guarding the things you say? Are you watching the things you say? Do you mean what you say and say what you mean? Just something to think about. That being said, the Christian, we're instructed to be a good example to others. Not only other Christians, but also to the world. How else are they going to see God's light? How else are we going to be the salt of the earth that we're told to in Matthew? And one way we demonstrate that is through our words. Obviously, we do it in other ways, but our words, I truly feel that our words are so important. I feel like sometimes we can overthink things and truly not place the correct emphasis due to our words that needs to be. That's something I wanted to talk about. So some words we're going to look at tonight. If you'll look in your outline, the first one we're going to talk about is the word no. The word no. Now, is it hard for me to say right now the word no, N-O? No, that's not hard. But I'll tell you when it does get hard. How about in times of temptation? For some reason, this word, It can be easy to say in certain situations, but in times of temptation, this two-letter word, something we are all capable of saying, something Titus and Whitney are capable of saying, it can be hard to say. It truly can. Let's look real quick in 2 Samuel. Let's look at an example of this. Let's apply this. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we have the count of David and Bathsheba, something we talked about on Wednesday night. The count of David and Bathsheba. We'll start in verse 2 real quick. It says, "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And that woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Verse 4, "Then David sent messengers, took her, and she came with him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house." That being said, we read the rest of the story on Wednesday, and what happens, it's a snowball effect, it truly is, on David and his sin, and how it grew and grew and whatnot, and festered. That being said, this is a prime example. When David saw her, in verse 2, the last half of verse 2, "From the roof he saw a woman bathing, and she was very beautiful to behold." And then when someone told him, "Hey, she's taken, sorry man." That was a perfect opportunity for David to say, "Okay, next." He could have said no, but he didn't. The scriptures are filled, this is just an example, but the scriptures are filled with times when people, nations, could have said no, but they didn't. That is our potential today too. That potential is still there for us. Saying the word no can be incredibly hard in times of temptation. But I got good news for you. If you look this morning in Joe's outline, he asked a question and answered it a couple different ways. That being said, on each statement that he provided, answering the question, he gave a cure. I don't know if you caught that, but if you'll look, he gave a cure to each and every answering question. That being said, there's a cure for each and every one of these words that I'm going to talk about. What's that cure? Well, let's look. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 39 real quick. In Genesis chapter 39, we have an account of Joseph. You know, he's a slave in Egypt. We're going to start reading in verse 12. We just read an account about David. Let's see how Joseph handles this scenario. Same sort of scenario anyway. So start reading in Genesis 39 verse 7. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife casting long eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.'" So now the roles are switched. Now the king's wife is saying, "Hey, come here." In verse 8. "But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife.'" Joseph said, "You're taken. You're his. No, this is wrong. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Verse 10. "So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, and that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her." So we can see Joseph said no. We are capable to say no. There again, this is just an example, but he did say no. Let's keep reading real quick in verse 11. "But it happened about this time when Joseph went to the house to do his work." He was just going to do his thing, do his work, and none of the men of the house, they were inside, none of them were. "And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.'" So now she's getting kind of forceful. "Lie with me." "But he left his garment in her hand, fled, and ran outside." Sometimes we don't have to say the words verbally, no, for someone to get it. Joseph was caught in a scenario, and what'd he do? "I'm out." He left. He got out of there. My point, we're capable to say no. Sometimes it's necessary. Why also can no be hard to say? Well, sometimes a desire can become more important than following God's word. It can be. That being said, in easier times, it is easy to say, In those situations, I'm going to do what's right. I will say no. But let me tell you, in those situations, it is a lot harder. In the example of Genesis 3, we're not actually going to read this just because of time, but we can see the fall of man, the temptation and fall of man. Adam and Eve, what they did, we all should know the story and how they gave in. Right? Their desire, they knew what was right and wrong. They were told. God had told them. But they didn't say no, did they? Another reason why no can be hard to say, hard for people to say, because we can be afraid of conflict. We can be afraid of conflict. This morning, Sam brought up this passage in John, John chapter 19, talking about Pilate. That's one thing I really appreciate and love about the scriptures as you read them, is you can read an account an account from the scriptures and apply it to the Lord's table, but you can also apply it in so many different ways. Anyway, in John chapter 19, we're going to start reading in verse 5. We'll go on just a little bit. But look at Pilate here. He could have said no, but he didn't, did he? John 19, verse 5. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said to the men present, "Behold this man, Jesus, behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." He said, "No, I don't find any fault. You do what you want." No. That's what he said. Verse 7, then the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Verse 8, therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, when Pilate heard what they had said, no, this is our law, he ought to die. When Pilate heard that, he was afraid. He was more afraid. Sometimes no can be hard to say because we're afraid of conflict, because we can be afraid of people, we can be afraid of situations and scenarios. No can be hard to say. Why else can no be hard to say? Potentially because there might be a fear of being punished. What if there's a punishment for saying no? I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I guarantee there's one out there somewhere. Being punished for saying no, it's present somewhere. What about being different? No can be hard to say sometimes because you're different. When all of my friends ask me when I was abroad, "Hey Tanner, why don't you come out with us? Come drink some alcohol." That's not my thing. Oh, okay. I'm not afraid to be different. I'm called to be different. You're called to be different. Just an example. In 1 John 2:15, we are told about the world, not to love the world. Right? We have a call to be different. Sometimes saying no is necessary. Sometimes saying no is necessary. We need to understand that. The last reason, I can't put book, chapter, verse on this. This is just something that I came up with. That being said, why can no be hard to say sometimes? Because sometimes it's easier to say yes. It can be easier to say yes than no. These are just some things for us to consider. The importance of saying no. I've talked about why it can be hard and given scriptures on it. Just real quick, the importance of saying no, two things. First, the word no can save your soul. Saying no to sin can save your soul, and it will save your soul. But you got to say it, and you got to do it. You can't say, in that moment, yeah, I'm going to say no to it. We can't become desensitized to sin, like Joe talked about this morning. We can't do it. Firstly, saying no can save your soul. Secondly, no teaches children to obey orders, doesn't it? And obey boundaries. Children do not like the word no, do they? We are children of God. Sometimes we might not like the word no, but we have a Heavenly Father that's much powerful and more dominant than any father in this world. Let's respect it. Respect His word by saying no when necessary. Word number two of the night. I'm sorry. That can be difficult to say, huh? It can be really difficult to say. Why can't it be hard to say? Well, I'll give you a few reasons. Because feelings of anger are held on too tight sometimes. We can't let things go. It's hard for us to let things go, isn't it? When someone wrongs you, what are we told to do in the scriptures when someone wrongs you? Turn your cheek. Let them get your other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Right? Be the bigger person. Much, much, much easier said than done. I'll be the first to admit it. But it's necessary. You know, I'm sorry is one of those words that... two words, I guess. But it's... There again, it's two words, but it is so important. It is so important. Why else can I'm sorry be hard to say? Sometimes we can be too prideful to admit fault. If you don't find fault in something that you did that is deserving of an I'm sorry, well, I mean, you're not going to say I'm sorry. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16 real quick. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Let's see what the writer had to say. Whoops. Proverbs 16, 18. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Right? There again, this is easier said than done. But sometimes we need to swallow our pride. If we find ourselves in error, if we find ourselves having wronged someone, you owe them an apology. You owe them an apology. You really do. And it takes a big person to swallow your pride and to truly give an honest and heartfelt, I'm sorry. It takes a big person to do that. But it's necessary. It's necessary. Why else can I'm sorry be hard to say? Well, sometimes it's easier to blame others, isn't it? It's easier to blame others when we make a mistake, we start pointing fingers. Is that what we do? There again, I can't answer it for all of you, but I can answer it for myself. Because it can be easier to blame others. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back to that example of Adam and Eve in the garden real quick. So we know that Eve partook and she also gave to Adam and he partook, sinning against God. We'll start reading Genesis chapter 3 in verses 11 and 12. So it says, "And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I have command?' I'm sorry. 'Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me, I'm sorry, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.'" You see, instead of accepting fault and accepting blame, Adam, did he not take the fruit that just as well as she did? But what did he say? "The woman you gave me, if you wouldn't have put her here, he pointed fingers. He pointed fingers. We can't do that. Let's look at verse 15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." That being said, there are going to be some consequences, aren't there, when we fall short. But instead of swallowing his pride, instead of truly looking at God in a metaphorical sense, instead of looking at him saying, "God, yeah, I did partake. I'm sorry. That I made a mistake. I'm not going to do that again. I've learned from it. I'm truly sorry." He pointed fingers. There's an example of what not to do. There's an example of what not to do. Why else can I'm sorry be hard to say? I'm just going to stop for just one second. With the words that I'm saying, if something clicks in your head and you find yourself not saying these words often, not saying them enough, not saying when it's necessary, I'm going to encourage you to change. Just keep that in mind. So our word number two, I'm sorry, why else can it be hard to say? Well, because we can try to reduce our errors. If person A commits a violation one and person B commits a violation one, person number one is going to think it's a whole lot smaller than person two. Because when we do something wrong, we have a tendency to reduce it, don't we? It's not that big of a deal. But if someone did that to me, that same thing, that's not the attitude of a Christian. That's not the attitude of a Christian. I'm sorry. What else does it do? Well, why can it be hard to say? I'm sorry admits I was wrong. And people have a hard time saying that sometimes. I'm not pointing fingers. There again, this lesson is not intended for one specific person. It's intended for all of us, Christian or non-Christian. These are just some things that I've noticed. I'm sorry admits that I was wrong, doesn't it? When we tell someone that I'm sorry for wronging them, when we tell God I'm sorry for sinning against you, does that not admit that we were wrong? See, there's a level there that we got to swallow our pride. To truly give an honest and heartfelt I'm sorry, like I've told you, it takes a lot. It takes a big person to do that. But you'll be a big person because of it. That being said, when you have realized that you've wronged someone or God, we need to accept the truth. Right? You need to come to your senses and think, man, I was wrong. After the apology, you need to come to some senses, come to some truth. Look at 2 Samuel. Let's see how David handled this. Like I told you with the account of David and Bathsheba, how it was kind of a snowball effect, ended up that Uriah died and whatnot. It was just a mess and things just got worse and worse. That being said, after some time, and after I believe it was Nathan that came to him and said, hey, you made a mistake there, David. Let's see how David reacts. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. What do we see here? Firstly, we see an immediate, wow, an acknowledgement of your sin. And then we see that Nathan says, God's going to forgive you because you've acknowledged it. You understand. He feels bad. He is sorry for what he's done. Just an example. We need to accept the truth. Also, we need to have some integrity. We need to have some integrity. We really do. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Just some things to consider. That being said, if everyone can see this pretty clear, it's a picture from, I believe it, the movie Shrek, from Puss in Boots, if I'm not mistaken. And you can see, it looks like he's just got a little tear, and he's just holding on here, if you can see that. It says, I am sorry, this is a caption, of course, it says, I am sorry, please forgive me. Two things to this picture. First and foremost, there is a difference. When someone tells you that you need to apologize, or when you feel you need to apologize, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. I need to be careful with what I say and how I say it. We as people have a tendency to reduce our errors. When someone feels wronged by us and they ask for an apology, I'm just going to pose a question. How often do we give them one of these? I'm sorry. Is that an apology? Is that what we say to God when we've sinned against Him? Yeah, I'm sorry, God. Just some things to think about. This picture, I saw it and I just had to include it. I'm not saying you have to get down on two knees and beg for forgiveness like Him, like this. But what I'm trying to get across, number one, is that there is a difference between I'm sorry and a genuine I am sorry. A genuine I'm sorry. There is a difference. The second part is that after the I'm sorry, there's a forgiveness, isn't there? Asking for forgiveness. Same thing with God, with our relationship with man and with God. When we apologize, we have to ask for forgiveness from God and from man. That being said, that's the next word. A couple words that we're going to talk about. Why is I forgive you? Why can that be hard to say? If someone's wronged you, is it hard to forgive them? Yes, it can be. Yes, it can be hard, can't it? It can be hard, but it's necessary. It is necessary. Look at Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We need to forgive other people when they've wronged us. When they have said they're sorry, and they have said, "Will you please forgive me?" That's our time right there to say, "Yeah, I forgive you. I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go and be done with it. Move on." It is necessary. It can be hard. There again, these words that I'm talking about, I've said it from the beginning. It can be hard. It is hard. It is hard to say and do these things, but it makes you a better person. It makes you a better Christian. It makes you a more likable person, and it makes you get along with people. No one likes someone that won't apologize. No one likes someone that doesn't forgive people. No one likes that. No one does. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Take heed to yourselves. If a brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." See, if he says, "I'm sorry," forget him. Let it go. This isn't me telling you what to do. This is God. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 4. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. See, there again, there's no quantity. There's no amount of times that someone can wrong us before you let off, you know. We're brothers and sisters here as Christians, and Lord willing, we're going to spend an eternity together. We need to treat each other good, decently. We need to treat each other the way that we ought to. Part of that is saying I'm sorry. Part of that is asking for forgiveness when necessary. Just part of it. Ephesians chapter 4 also talks about this. Mark 11. That being said, I forgive you saying these things. When someone's wronged you and they've asked for an apology and you say, you know what? I forgive you. Doesn't that mean you have to let it go? Don't forgive someone and hold it over them. That's wrong. That's wrong to do. But the importance of saying I forgive you, what's the importance to it? Well, it lets the guilty party know that you've let it, whatever they're apologizing for, it lets them know that you've let it go. And how good does that feel? When you know that you've wronged someone, or God for that matter, you prayed about it, you make a change in your life, and you move on, how good does that make you feel to know that God's forgiven you? It makes me feel pretty good. If I know I've wronged someone and I apologize, I ask them to forgive me, and they say, yeah, let's put this behind us and just don't say that again. Don't act like that again. Whatever it is, it's like, hey, I appreciate that. Let's move forward from here. It's a good feeling. Importance of I forgive you. Point number two, forgiveness is necessary to move forward in a relationship, isn't it? Forgiveness is necessary. Forgiveness from God is necessary to move forward in a relationship with Him. The day you became a Christian, did He not forgive you? See, that's the thing. This lesson can be applied to us as fellow Christians and fellow people in this world, but it can also be applied to our Heavenly Father. The day you were baptized, the day you decided to become a Christian, what did you say no to? We've talked at three words. What did you say no to? You said no to living like you had been. You said no to participating in the things, the people, whatever, your past life, you're saying no now. What's our second word? I'm sorry. Well, you might not have verbally said, God, I'm sorry for my past sins, but you repented. That's a change of heart. In a way, that's saying, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm acknowledging my mistakes. I'm moving forward. And this third part, I forgive you. We didn't say that. God said it to us. He said, I'll forgive your trespasses. Just follow me. This lesson, these words are applicable each and every day of our lives, and they're so important. I cannot stress it enough. I really cannot. Lastly, let's quickly talk about the word thank you, something that I feel might not be said as often as it should, as often as it could be said. You know, why is thank you so hard to say sometimes? Some of these words, are harder to say than others, but sometimes I struggle why people have such hard time saying certain words. I don't understand. If someone does something nice or forgives you, a thank you'd be nice. You know, thank you's nice. Why is it hard to say sometimes? Well, it means that if you don't say it, you're not appreciating whatever it is, huh? Right? By saying thank you, we're acknowledging an appreciation for it, them, whatever it is. Thank you goes a long ways with people. Thank you goes a long ways with God. There again, just some things to consider. Just some things to consider. That begs the question, are you an ungrateful person? Do you say thank you often? I can't answer it for you. Just answer it yourself. Do you say thank you often when it's necessary? Because if you don't, you know, we need to start saying it. I'm talking to each and every person here, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, you have a lot to be grateful for. I don't know each of our scenarios financially, in the business world, in your job. I don't know a lot about anything. I'll be the first to admit it. But I do know that each one of us are blessed here beyond measure. Being in Europe for a little under a year, I have seen some pretty rough and hard things in some rough places. We have it great here. Thank yous go a long way. That's my point. No, we don't have to go through all these verses. I encourage you to go through them on your own time. But I list a couple verses here also in the bulletin about giving thanks. You know, we see it through countless scriptures in the scriptures. We see it countless times about giving thanks, being a thankful people. You know, I can't say it enough. We are a very blessed people, and thank you goes a long ways. Thank you goes a long ways. I encourage you to look at some of these verses later, but the importance of thank you. First and foremost, it's kind, isn't it? It's kind to tell someone thank you. And we ought to be kind-hearted people. And it tells you that you appreciate them, whatever they've done for you. It's a little word that goes a long ways. It truly is. Just like a handwritten note. It might not seem big to you, but to someone receiving it, it might be a lot to them. That being said, if you're not a Christian tonight, let's look at these four words one last time. One last time. I probably sound like a broken record, but I'm trying to do the best job that I can by presenting these words and tying them in with some scripture. If you're not a Christian tonight, let's go through these words again. Let's say no to sin. Let's say no to your past life, the way that you've been living, right? Because you're dead in sin. That's not me saying it. That's the scripture, Romans chapter 6. Let's say no to sin. Say no to your past life. Let's say I'm sorry to God, right, for living that way. Repent and be baptized, Acts chapter 2:38. And guess what? When you do those two things, when you say no to your past life and how you've done things in the past, and you say, I'm sorry to God, He is just and He will forgive you. That's not me saying it, that's Him saying it. He will forgive us if we apologize, if we acknowledge it, and if we move forward, if we say no to sin. And lastly, be thankful. Be thankful. You know, this lesson can also be applied to Christians. That, you know, anyone has the power to say these words, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not, whether you believe in God, whether you don't. These words mean a lot. These words go a long ways. And I guarantee you, if you are lacking in one of these words and saying them, you know, if it's hard for you to apologize to someone and say the words when you know you're wrong, when it's hard for you to say, I'm sorry, I encourage you to get better at it. Get better at it. It's going to help your relationship with people. It's going to help your relationship with God. If it's hard for you to forgive others, I encourage you to work on it. Do better at that. If saying thank you is hard for you to do, do it. Just do it. Just do it. If you are a Christian and you've made mistakes and you've erred, you've went away from God, now's the time to repent. Now's the time to say no. See, all people, all Christians, all mankind are capable to say no. Say, I'm sorry to God. No need to be baptized again. But He will forgive you. He will forgive you. But you have to say it. You have to say it. That being said, the invitation's yours. Are you going to say those words if it's necessary? If you don't, you're going to regret it. That's what I'll leave you with. If anyone has a need, let it be known as we stand and sing.
You say.